It's Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas.
How do rumors get started? It started by the jealous people, and they get mad in something they had, and somebody else is holding you. Look at all these rumors surrounding me every day. I just need some time to get away from all these rumors. I can't take it no more.
Live at the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino, it's Unnecessary Roughness. Here's your boy Q.
My man Ari coming in strong, making a statement as we come in on this Monday live from the Oyo Hotel and Casino, the Underground Lounge. We do this every single Monday night. Monday Night Football. Tonight you will get the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cincinnati Bengals. And if you had told me this about 5 weeks ago, I would have said, ooh, it's going to be a really good Monday night matchup. But with no Joe Burrow for Cincinnati, you kind of wonder how it's actually going to shake out. But here we are, Monday Night Football, no matter what. We're going to be here locked in, ready to rock and roll. Jacksonville versus Cincinnati will be on one of the many screens that we have here at the Oyo Hotel and Casino, and it's newly remodeled. If you have not been here, I say this every week, it's newly remodeled. You got to come by and check it out. Beautiful couches and chairs and a lounge area that you can sit here and watch some of these new TVs, new monitors. Of course, they have the bar area that you could check out as well, and don't forget about their weekly slot tournament that they have, Wheel of Fortune Slot Zone. And I'll say this. Last week, I was actually a pretty good winner when it came to the Wheel of Fortune slot machine. I went over there and won a little something. I had an opportunity to get my hair cut. I was like, man, okay, got a little haircut money. Well, I'll let you know. I got here a little bit early, wanted to test my luck to see what it was going to look like, see if Lady Luck was still on my side. And, well, let's just say I warmed it up for you. So Lady Luck might not have been on my side, but Lady Luck is on your side. So, you know, you're always looking for that machine that someone's warmed up. I warmed it up a little something for you. So you come on by here, the Oyo Underground Lounge. You go and check out one of these Wheel of Fortune machines. And, well, like I said, there's been somebody that's been a nice contributor to his community and helped, you know, helped stabilize the community with a couple dollars in a machine or two and set it up. So whoever comes by and next plays it will probably be a big-time winner. So just saying, come on by, have a good time, man. We're here every single Monday night. It's funny, man. It's such a nice area now that people are lined up and get here a little bit early, which is cool. You roll in, you see people sitting at the couches, sitting at the tables, just participating and waiting, saying, hey, I know the show's about to happen in a couple hours or an hour or so, and looking forward to, you know, what's going to go on here. And so this is where we're at. Again, the Underground Lounge, we're here every single Monday for Monday Night Football. And, of course, coming off a bye week, so hopefully Raider Nation, you had an opportunity to get rested. Enjoy your weekend and hang out with some family and friends and do the honeydews if you had them to do. And if not, just like I said, just get a little bit of R&R, a little rest and relaxation. And I'll tell you what, I almost didn't know how to act all weekend long, not having a game to go to or having a game to monitor. It was a great weekend to watch sports. Saturday was fantastic, watching nothing but college football. Sunday, it was great to see not only the selection show and who was going to make the Final Four when it came to college football, but also all things NFL action, to hang out with family and friends. Had a great time all weekend long. And like I said, recharged the batteries and ready to make this last stretch run. Final five games guaranteed for the silver and black. But, yeah, the selection show, obviously a lot of people still up in arms about the college football playoffs and the Final Four teams. And, you know, there's a reason why we had a guest on the show on Friday talking about it, because I did anticipate there was going to be some chaos. And I wanted to kind of give everyone a preview of what the chaos and where the chaos could come from. And exactly is what happened with Alabama getting into the college football playoffs over Florida State. And, of course, that's been the big-time conversation. And I have no problem talking about that. And I've been interacting a lot with Raider Nation. That's the funny thing, man. Without the Raider game to interact about, there was a lot of talk about the college football playoffs. So a lot of folks were, you know, angry and upset and mad because the SEC team got in. At the end of the day, I thought the committee got the four teams correct. And I know a lot of people didn't like to hear that, but when you have four spots and you have multiple teams that could potentially get into it, somebody's going to be left out, somebody's going to be angry, and at the end of the day, they chose Florida State to be the team that missed the college football playoffs and put Alabama in there. And, of course, anyone who's listened to me for any amount of time knows that in my house, for no reason whatsoever, I yell Roll Tide, so I had no problem with it. But be that as it may, some really good teams are going to be in the college football playoffs, and I'm excited to see exactly how it plays out. But we're here at the Oyo, the Underground Lounge. We're here to talk Raider football with you for the next 3 hours. And How are you feeling coming off the bye? Of course, we'll hear from you all show long at 702-365-9200. That's the Raider Nation listener line, and that's the don'tbebroke.com text line. It is all combined into one. Had a lot of really good feedback on Friday when we rolled out the new text line. A lot of good feedback this morning throughout the course of the morning tailgate, and obviously JT the Brick Show as well that just got wrapped up at 2. A lot of good feedback on the text line, so it's really easy now. One simple number, 702-365-9200. You don't have to worry about keywords. You don't have to worry about any other numbers. Just one simple number. Delete the old number. Take it out of your contacts and put in 702-365-9200. You can call us or text us all at the same number. Coming up on the show today, the guests that we have, I'm super fired up about them, as I am each and every day, but really excited about the guests that we have coming up today. I think we put together a really good lineup for you at 2:30. Ed Graney from ESPN Las Vegas and the Las Vegas Review Journal. He joins us each and every Monday at 2:30 just to talk about the Raiders and what his expectations are as they get ready for the Minnesota Vikings this week. Week 14 action at Allegiant Stadium. So we'll talk to Ed Graney all things silver and black. We'll also ask him about UNLV, who took the L at Allegiant Stadium on Saturday. Unfortunately, they were in the Mountain West Championship game against Boise State, and it was just too much Boise State. But UNLV put together a hell of a season, so we'll talk to them about that as well and just what that means for the program moving forward. But 95% of the conversation will be Raider-related when it comes to Ed Graney at 2:30. Then we get a little bit freaky, man, and that's what I mean freaky in a good way. I really do. I'm excited about the next couple guests that we'll be having on the show. EJ Snyder from Bootleg Football, he'll join the show coming up at 3 o'clock, and him and his partner put out a video that I thought was great. I was watching it over the weekend, and it was talking about something that we talk about on the show quite a bit, and that's NFL purgatory. And what I mean by that, you're good enough to not pick in the top, top two, top three, top four, top five of the NFL draft, but you're bad enough where you're not a team that's going into the playoffs or making a deep run. And I felt like for a while, and we've talked about it here with Adam Hill a couple times, that the Raiders are kind of stuck in that no man's land where they're picking between, like last year they picked number 7 in the draft. Right now they're currently slotted at number 10. But they kind of normally always end up, it feels like, around 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, somewhere in that range, which is basically right in the middle. So the point is, not bad enough to be picking at the very top, but not good enough to make a deep playoff run. So how can they fix that? And so they went through and they put together a video. What's up, Jason? My man Jason just rolled in, already rolling in here at the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino. They put together a video, and they put together a handful of teams based off where they would be drafting right now if the season ended, and said, okay, they're kind of stuck in no man's land. How do you get out of no man's land? How do you fix it without just completely saying, hey, we're waving the white flag on a season, and we're going to go for that number one overall pick? So EJ, he's been on the show before from Bootleg Football. Is really, really informative, really smart as well when it comes to these kind of things, and I thought that was a great video. So I reached out to him over the weekend and invited him onto the show, and he said, Q, I'd be more than happy to hop on the show. So EJ Snyder from Bootleg Football will join us at 3 o'clock to talk about how the Silver and Black can get out of NFL purgatory and make some moves to the future where they can get really good quick, fast, in a hurry, and be where Raider Nation wants them to be. So that's coming up at 3 o'clock. Then at 4, LeVar Arrington, former NFL linebacker. What is the show, Jason? Two Pros and a Cup of Joe? Is that the show? My man Jason is a big fan of that show on Fox Sports. I haven't listened to it very often. I'll be 100% honest. I don't get to hear it very often just because of my schedule. But I had, over the weekend, my buddies Rob and Anna from the Bay Area were at the house. They came up to Vegas and hung out over the weekend. And so they came to the house, and we were just having a nice conversation about the Raiders. And we started talking about Coach Antonio Pierce. And they informed me, because they listen to that show regularly, how LeVar Arrington's been dropping a lot of different little hints and a lot of convo about AP, and really that he's really tight friends with them. I had no idea. And this is why we do our research. This is why we listen. This is why we have conversations, because sometimes you can learn a thing or two. So as they're telling me this conversation, they've been saying how basically LeVar Arrington had been dropping hints about trouble in paradise when it comes to the Raiders all season. Even when Josh McDaniels was still the head coach, was kind of letting it be known that, yeah, everything's not really roses and rainbows and puppy dogs and everything. And then also talking about how close he is with Antonio Pierce. And matter of fact, as I did some research and reached out to the powers that be to try to get him on the show today, which, by the way, he's on the show at 4 o'clock, found out that he was actually in town this week hanging out with AP. I didn't know. I had no idea. But that's how close they are, that he was. So there you go. So we'll talk to LeVar Arrington about Coach Antonio Pierce. He also coached with him in high school at Long Beach Poly. He was on the coaching staff there. Obviously played with him in the NFL, so he knows what makes him tick. So I just want to do a little bit more background and kind of going behind the scenes on Antonio Pierce, what this opportunity that he has with the Raiders means to him, you know, why he thinks that he'll be really good at this position, not just for the next 5 weeks, but for the long term. I think we'll have a very insightful conversation. I'm really looking forward to it. Not that I'm looking forward to 4 o'clock because that means that there's only 1 hour left in the show. I'm definitely not doing that. I love every minute that we get here on the show with you. But I'm definitely looking forward to that conversation because I think it's going to be very, very insightful. And I'm very happy that my friends Rob and Anna actually gave me that intel. And, because, look, I can email some people to reach out to some people and see what we can do, right? I mean, I'm always looking to have the best guests on the show and the ones that can bring us the most information and give us and kind of educate us here on the show. And so I think LeVar Arrington is going to be fantastic coming up at 4 o'clock. So that's the guest that we have lined up for you. Ed Graney at 2:30, EJ Snyder at 3, LeVar Arrington at 4 o'clock. And then, of course, we'll hear from you throughout the course of the show as well at 702-365-9200. That's the same number for the Raider Nation listener line as well as the don'tbebroke.com text line. Again, 702-365-9200. And I already got a lot of feedback on the new text line. Matter of fact, this one's from Ray. Q, I'm digging this new text line. I just wish I could find DeMond. He's like a high school basketball career. I can't find him these days. sincerely, Kayla, a.k.a. Sir Whiskey Ray. That is fantastic. That is the way to start the day. Let DeMond catch a stray. I like that. It's better than Ari catching a stray, right, in the Finley Cadillac Performance Amen. Studio. Yeah, Ari's like, I'm good with that. So, we got a lot to get to in a little bit amount of time, so let's stop playing around. Ed Graney at 2:30, EJ Snyder at 3, LeVar Arrington at 4 o'clock, and, of course, we're at the Oyo Hotel and Casino, the Underground Lounge. Let's jump into the opening drive.
The opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM is brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
So as we jump into this week, of course, it's Minnesota Vikings week. I like to start really focusing in on the team coming in probably around Wednesday. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I don't want to regurgitate the same kind of conversation. But I do want to get into the state of this team, state of the Raiders. And I want to play, not really play a game, but I want to look at short-term and long-term. What do I mean by that? Well, what do you believe the short-term goals for the Raiders should be? Short-term meaning the next 5 games. They're guaranteed 5 games starting this Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. What should the short-term goals be for the team in that course of time, in those 5 games? Over that period of time, what should their goals be? And then long-term, what is the long-term? Well, that means the next 5 games, the offseason, and all the way up until, okay, training camp in 2024 is going to start, right? And you could even go, if you're going to talk long-term, you could even go a little further than that, but that's what I'm looking at. That's what I'm focused in on. Because the Raiders, in my opinion, need to have a plan. They need to have a plan on what the goals are. Something that's funny, this actually popped in my head, and this is why I'm a weirdo, and this is why I do what I do. It literally popped in my head around 3:30 this morning. I woke up, and I was like, man, that's a good idea. Short-term, long-term. That's what I should be talking about. And then I thought to myself, my short-term problem should be I should take myself back to bed. Like, what am I awake for at 3:30 in the morning thinking about the damn show? But that's just kind of how I'm wired. So short-term, long-term is what I want to talk about throughout the course of the show. Of course, you can definitely chime in with whatever you want to say, whatever's on your mind, however you're feeling, it's all good. Again, 702-365-9200 is the same number for both the text line and the Raider Nation listener line. Short-term goal, meaning the next 5 games, and what should the long-term goal be, meaning not only the next 5 games, but the offseason, the draft, free agency, all that good stuff leading up to training camp in 2024. And if you want to go beyond that, then if you're feeling froggy, then go ahead and leap. You know, that's 100% on you. But that's how I'm looking at it as far as short-term and long-term. I just feel like this team needs to have a plan moving forward of how they're going to get everything that they need to get in place from coaching, front office, players, roster. You know, we talked on Friday about rosters and where they are and how they can compete with the rest of the AFC. That has got to be the goal, right? They've got to be able to go through their roster. They've got to go through their coaching staff. They got to go through everything with a sharp tooth comb and really say, okay, this is going to help us. This is not going to help us. This is going to help us. This is going to help. Identify what works and what doesn't work and be honest with yourself, right? You've got to be honest with yourself. And I've heard a lot of people, questioning, hey, are you guys writing off Aiden O'Connell? No, not at all. I'm still TBD on that situation. That's part of the short-term goals, right? Identify if he's your quarterback or not, and that's on him. I'm not going to write him off at all. The team will do that, and he'll decide if he's going to be the guy or not moving forward based off what he does. That's where I stand in that camp. You know, you could feel whatever kind of way you want to feel about the situation, but one of the short-term goals has to be identify if Aiden O'Connell is going to be the guy or if he's not going to be the guy moving forward. Long-term goal, if that's the case, if he's not the dude, then identify who your guy is and go get him. And I think, and we'll talk to E.J. Snyder coming up at 3 o'clock, I think that the Raiders have to do whatever they can to make sure that they have their guy in place, whoever they feel comfortable with, whether that's Aiden O'Connell or other. They've got to find a way to make sure that they have their guy in place. And I know EJ and his partner from Bootlegs Football are really big Aiden O'Connell supporters. So I'm very interested to see and hear that conversation. That'll come up at 3 o'clock. Again, we've got the guest of the guests today on this show. I'm so excited about the opportunity that we'll have to have them on when they come up. Ed at 2:30, EJ at 3, and, of course, LeVar Arrington coming up at 4 o'clock. But those are the questions that I have for you. Again, you can chime in with whatever you got to say, but that's kind of where I'm focusing on as of right now. We got a text from Mayo. He said Raiders should try to draft a quarterback, Penix, offensive tackle, offensive guard, cornerback, defensive end to build around the players we already have. That's a lot of needs. that's a lot of drafting right there. And then you have to hope that you're drafting the right ones. I like Michael Penix a lot. I know a lot of people say he's a good college quarterback and is not really going to translate to the NFL. I don't know. I know he's got a really strong arm, and I like that. I know his play has dipped just a little bit, but I also saw him play a hell of a game against Oregon on Friday at Allegiant Stadium, and I know that he had a really strong run game to help him out. But some of those nice passes that he had with the help of a running back sticking his head in there and being able to block really well, some of those passes were pretty incredible. I've been a Michael Penix supporter for quite a while. We should see what's going to happen as far as where he goes and what his NFL career looks like. Eric hit us up also on the don't be broke.com text line 702-365-9200. I would say short-term goals is to make Aiden uncomfortable and see if he can win games for us so we can ensure if he's the guy or not. Long-term, build the team from the lines out. I want us to be physical, nasty team. That's from Eric. Again, a good text right there. Don't be broke.com text line, a little short-term, long-term goals right there. 702-365-9200. Let's go out to the phone lines real quick, talk to our guy, Passionate Raider. Welcome to the show. Lead us off, dude.
What's up, Q, man? Good Monday, good weekend. Just sit back and watch football. Just enjoy it, man. Locked myself in the man cave 2 days in a row. No, nothing. Didn't do nothing but watch football. Q, Michael Penix is like what you said. I think he's a college quarterback. Too many injuries to be thinking to draft up to go get him. Now, okay. If he was to fall back to maybe the third or the fourth round and he was around then, and you make package something up to move up to the top of the fourth or the end of the third to grab him, okay, give a little competition. But still, I think the short-term goal is I would like to know as a fan this year, and I would like to know this weekend, which direction are we going? Are we trying to win every game, or are we trying to get a draft pick? You know, because that's two things that's up in the air right now, and, you know, that's just something we'll find out this weekend. If I'm a bet man, AP's trying to go out and win every game. That's what I'm hoping is happening, and I'm hoping that they really allow Aiden. Like, you know, you watch Love, you watch a couple of these other rookie quarterbacks that's playing. They've been in this system all year. Basically, Aiden is on system number two this year, and I think he has a very limited playbook, which is not fair to him, which is going to have to allow these coaches to be coaches and think and just put some more plays in there for the kid. But it's still, at the end of the day, Q, it's a whole unfair situation, whatever happens. Long term, I would like to see the Raiders take the best player available at the draft next year if we are going to roll with Aiden. And hopefully it's a top offensive lineman, second round of offensive lineman. We get some defensive line help for Mac. He's the only one out there creating pressure, Q. The man cannot do a 17. I don't care unless he is really Superman, which nobody really can do 17 games at Max's speed. It starts to wear on the body. We see what's happening to him. We've got to get him some D-line help. Short-term goal, see what Aiden can do for the rest of this year, and just really unleash the playbook on him, man. This kid can make the throws. He's dropped some throws in there. He's got a horrible line right now, but we'll get it fixed, Q. I got faith. It's game week on to Minnesota this week. And you know one thing? Tell JT that give him on the bench because that's where he belongs. Let's go, Raiders! Come on, Q.
Passionate Raider. I didn't really quite understand what he said there at the end, but I got the gist of it. Short term, long term, I got that. And look, Aiden O'Connell's not really working with the new playbook. It's basically been the same playbook. I know they made a few tweaks to it, but it's McDaniel's playbook. They don't have time to go out there and put a new playbook together. They came up with some plays that are more comfortable, and I think that's what they probably did over the course of the bye week, is throw out the stuff that didn't work. But it's pretty much the same playbook. I think you'll get a good idea of who he is by the end of the season, and I think that that's fair, right? And look, the team could decide to say, yeah, we've seen some things that we like, similar to Sam Howell, right, in Washington. Well, we kind of like what he saw. You know, he had moments where he's really good, moments that there's questions. And I think that's who Aiden O'Connell is right now. He's a guy that has some moments where he throws the ball and it's like, wow, that was a hell of a throw. You know, I think every game I look up and say, man, that was a hell of a throw. And then there's a couple throws I'm like, eh, not so much. So it's really just trying to build consistency with him. I think he's got all the talent in the world. Strong arm, big dude, smart, got it between the ears. Just got to build consistency. If they feel like he could do that, maybe they roll the dice and say, you know what, we're not going to go draft a quarterback right now. We're going to build the team up around him and see what we got. And if it works out, great. If not, then we'll know that, hey, we're all in. We better go get a quarterback. So it could be, when we're talking long term, it could be a couple years long term as far as, you know, we know. But, again, we're just kind of scatter shooting and just talking about the short term and long term goals that you believe the team should have. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Talk to our guy, Rich. Richie Rich, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
What's up, Q? How you doing, bro?
I'm blessed, hey, man. How are you?
I'm the same, man. I'm the same. Hey, you know, it's crazy. I mean, I called Locked On Raiders podcast, man. Talked a little bit about this, and it's crazy you're talking about it on the show because I thought about this all weekend. And I'm going to go on a little different, and I know you're a college football fan, so hear me out real quick. Everybody's talking Penix, you know, Bo Nix, Drew Payne, whoever you want to talk about, Drew Payne.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about them. If AP can earn the job, you know who I'm curious about? And I've liked him since his days at Arizona State, and now he's at LSU, is Jaden Daniels.
Ooh.
I really, really, really like that guy. He can play, and I don't think it's going to be a top 10 draft pick. I really don't think – no one's really looking at Jaden, even though he's a Heisman candidate. And he's been balling this year, balling. He reminds me of a Lamar Jackson with accuracy. And I mean that in a positive way. Not saying Lamar isn't accurate today, but he's just a better passer. But I really think the Raiders need to address the other opportunities in the free agency. You got Robert Hunt, the guard from Miami. I think he's solid. I would like the Raiders to get possibly, if they can, all of them. But Josh Allen from the Jags, he's going to be available. Jalen Johnson from the Bears at the corner. You know he's solid.
Yeah.
You know he's solid. But immediate, I'd like to see the coaching staff. You know, the next five games. Let's see what the coaching staff could do. Let's see who we keep. I know everyone's high on PG. I know everyone's high on AP. But let's see what they can do. I also like to see what Trey Tucker and Michael Mayer can do. I know they've played, and Ja'Quarian Bennett. But let's see what the rookies can do. And then maybe we go on from there. You know, kind of see what we can go into in the offseason. But I really like to see the coaching staff. Everyone's all high on the players, and I get it. It's who we watch. But I want to see who's going to coach us in the future as well, because that's just as important as the players on the field, in my opinion. Those are my guys. I'm really high on Jaden Daniels, man. I really hope. Not saying AOC, Aiden O'Connell, whatever you want to call him. Not saying he can't be the guy. But I just think Jaden has that extra ability because he can get out of the pocket, man. He can scramble, and I know you watched him. I know you've watched him, Q. And it just I think he's electric, man. Or he's gonna be electric in the NFL. That's just my opinion. And I know everyone gets high on their players in college. You know what I mean? But that's just my talk. Another guy, real quick. Is the Notre Dame tackle, is it Joe Alt? You know, I'm just saying, there's some guys out there. We don't need to go reach. We don't need to go trade. We don't need to go do all that, Q. But I'll be curious to hear what you got to say, man, because I know you're knowledgeable on all this stuff, my man.
Hey, great call, man. Great call. And Daniels is, man, that's a hell of a pickup, right? That would be a great Jaden Daniels, man. He would be a hell of a pickup. I think that he's a guy that, you know, very easily could be the Heisman Trophy winner when it's all said and done. He's a guy, obviously, Antonio Pierce knows very well. I wouldn't have any problem seeing him in silver and black. I don't know if he's going to make it to the Raiders where they're selecting this year if they decide that that's the direction that they're going to go. I think, right now, they're stuck at the number 10 spot, so I think that he'll be long gone by then. But that's definitely a name I just wrote down, and we'll talk to E.J. Snyder about that coming up at 3 o'clock when it comes to, you know, trying to get out of NFL purgatory and what the silver and black could do to kind of, fast-track the team to where they want to be, though. Really good stuff, though. I like the names that you threw out there to help out with the offensive line and make some other moves as well. And that's what this team has to do as a collective, and I'm sure that they are. Champ Kelly, I know that he's working. He's grinding, trying to get it done. You know, they all have the interim tag on right now, but they all have to assume and they have to work and attack it like it's their job every single day and that there's no doubt about it. I like that. Good stuff, Rich. Really good call. Let's get one more quick call. We got time, Ari? All right, real quick. We'll go to Raider Mac. Raider Mac, what's on your mind? Welcome to the show.
What up, Q? Happy holidays to you, man.
Hey, yes, sir. You
too. I was in Houston. I went to the game, the Texans game, and C.J. Stroud, he the real deal, man. That kid, but I knew he was a real deal. I think the problem with O'Connell and Pierce and stuff, the season ain't over yet. Everybody's like either giving them a job or dismissing them the job. We need to wait, let everything play out, and then go from there to see how it works out. Everybody, because you got to remember, they under McDaniel's offense, and you can't get that kid. I understand that. I mean, this week, since you were off, you can add some stuff. But, Q, I think what we need to do, if this don't work out, we got to go get a veteran coach if this is not the guys at the end of the season. I'm not saying there aren't, but we got to give them a chance first. I mean,
yeah,
the problem
agreed.
Is we're rushing. And give them a chance, and then we can go from there, Q. I'll let you go. What you think?
Yeah, I agree. Good stuff. I have no problem with that. And you know, like I said, the team could say that they're going to go not only the rest of this season, but they're going to roll with them next season if they feel like he's done enough to prove that, and that's okay. I'm not one that's writing him off right now because I've seen enough to know that he has the arm talent. He has the intelligence for sure. He's a little bit older, as many people mentioned, as a rookie instead of the typical 20, 21-year-old rookie. He's much older. He's 25, so he's more mature. And, he's obviously learned a lot along his way all his time at Purdue. So I'm not writing him off at all. Not at all. I just want to see him continue to grow and mature over the next five games. I'd love to see and come into, a day at the Oyo here like we are and say, man, the reason the Raiders won that game was because Aiden O'Connell made it happen. Right? If you could see that a couple times, then I think that everyone could get behind him. I think right now a lot of people are on the fence because, well, there's been a lot of quarterback play that the Silver and Black have had for years that has been good, just not consistent, and hasn't been great. And I think at some point when you look at the AFC and you look at the rest of the quarterbacks in the whole conference, you realize that at some point you're going to need great. So can you get great out of Aiden O'Connell? Well, he's got a handful of games to show what he can do. And if the team chooses to let him go ahead and rock for another year and prove what he can be, then that's what they do, and they try to build the team around him. But, again, those short-term, long-term we're playing here on Raider Nation Radio 920. What do you believe the short-term goal should be for the Raiders the next 5 weeks, the next five games? And what do you think the long-term goal should be for the Silver and Black? 702-365-9200. That's the don'tbebroke.com text line. Don't call us right now because Ed Graney from ESPN Las Vegas and the Las Vegas Review Journal will join us next as we're here at the Oyo, the Underground Lounge with Raider Nation Radio 920.
That was the opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Brought to you by Paul Padilla. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by PortaSubs. Make sure you check out PortaSubs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area PortaSubs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
Here comes Dalmas striding forward, swings the right leg, end over end kick to Jesus, grabbed at the goal line. He's going to try to return it to the 5, to the 10, to the 15, to the 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, down at the 49-yard line of the Broncos. He nearly broke the whole thing.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness, live at the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino.
Every single Monday night is where we're at for Monday Night Football. Tonight you'll get Cincinnati and Jacksonville closing out week 13 of the NFL action. And, of course, the Raiders will take on the Minnesota Vikings Week 14 Sunday at Allegiant Stadium. It's Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920. Coming back right there, you heard DeJesus from UNLV with a nice kick return versus Boise State. It was not enough as UNLV dropped their second game in a row, and more importantly, that was the Mountain West Championship game that they lost on Saturday at Allegiant Stadium. Join us now on the phone lines, as he does each and every Monday at this time. It's Ed Graney from our sister station, ESPN Las Vegas, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And since we came back with UNLV, Ed, we'll start with UNLV. Unfortunately, they don't take home the Mountain West title. They lose to Boise State. But when you look at their season in a nutshell, man, how do you summarize what you saw year one under new coach Barry Odom?
Well, you have to look beyond that game because they really got outplayed. They kind of looked like a team in their first championship game, which, you know, is understandable. And they're playing a team in Boise who'd been there seven times as a program, won. This is their fifth win. So I don't think it was that surprising what happened. But if you look at it as a whole, nine wins, most wins since, I believe, 84, you have to, you know, consider this a building block and a huge turnaround for that program under Barry Odom. You know, it's just it's amazing what he was able to do in the first year. And, you know, the key is to build on it now. They have the they get a Power 5 opponent in the bowl game, which I think is really cool. We didn't think that would happen. So they get Kansas in the bowl game out in Arizona on the 26th. And that's another opportunity to prove, you know, that this program is back and, you know, they can play with, you know, a really good program.
What did you think about the announcement that the Mountain West made on Friday, talking about the schedule that they're going to have, and they're joining with the Pac-2, and there's going to be a couple games that are going to be played throughout the course of next season? So it's kind of like a combination. Obviously, the ultimate goal is for the Pac-12 to be part of the Mountain West, vice versa, whatever the case may be. But what did you think of the overall announcement?
Not surprising, because everyone thought they would somehow connect in some form or fashion. Now, this is only for next season, but I think it's going to continue on in some way. You know, look, Washington State and Oregon State need games. Yeah. Their conference disintegrated. So it's not a shock that they had to go to a conference like the Mountain West searching for games. I think they want to, you know, keep that Pac-12, Pac-2 label as long as they possibly can, whether that means a merger with the Mountain West in the future to bring them in and make a new Pac-12, I don't know. But I think it's good for the Mountain West. You know, you get two good teams coming in. You're going to play at least one of them each year, so that's good. It gives you another non-conference game that, you know, you can add on, and I think it's really good for the league. It's good. I think it's good for both. It was like one of those situations where it was good for both sides.
What did you think about the Pac-12 championship game being played on Friday at Allegiant, and then obviously the Mountain West championship game being played the very next day at Allegiant with Boise State and UNLV? Basically, this being such a nice, ideal location that multiple championship games are going to be played in this venue.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be the guys who had to turn the field around.
Right.
I wouldn't want to be those guys. They were probably up all night turning that field around. So, you know, this is Vegas, man. It's now the town where everyone wants their championships played. You know, the Pac-12, you know, I think they were the only, you know, show in town that night. And, you know, the game everyone watched on TV, it had a record number of millions of people watching on TV. So I thought it was good for both leagues. Like I said, I wouldn't want to be the guy to turn around, but, you know, the Mountain West gets on national TV. Anytime that's good for the league. I think it was a lead into the, if I'm not mistaken, maybe the Big Ten game. I think it was the Big Ten game that it was the lead into. So yeah, I thought it was great. I thought the atmosphere of the Pac-12 game was obviously really electric, and you know you and I've been in that stadium with that many people, and it can get electric at times. The game didn't disappoint, and you know, I mean, Washington did a great job as a 10-point dog to come and win that game. So for a final Pac-12 game, final Pac-12 football game, I thought it was as good as, you know, advertised.
Final question for you as far as it goes with college football, then we'll turn our attention to the silver and black. The Final Four is set. You got Michigan, you've got Washington, you've got Alabama, and you've got Texas. Did the committee get it right, or did you have a problem with FSU not being in there?
I had a problem with them not being in there. You know, what one people aren't talking about is, I heard this from someone earlier today, I thought it was a really good point, is that, you know, did you get the four best teams in there? Can anyone sit there and argue against Georgia not being one of the four best teams in the country? So you really can't say you got the four best teams in there. And for them to go from one to six, I thought was interesting. More so, not a lot of people are talking about that. But, you know, the key is to win games. And you know, they weren't going to have their third-string quarterback in the bowl game.
you know, the second string kid, Brodemaker, I believe his name is, was in protocol. He would have been ready for the bowl game. So if they come out and they say, well, they had their third string quarterback, you're not looking far ahead with that in terms of who would have really been the quarterback for that game. I thought Booger McFarland made some really good points yesterday where he says, you know, what's wrong with defense winning games? Like, well, you know, if it's style points, then Florida State shouldn't have tried to run the clock out and should have been passing on every down to try to get, you know, the margin bigger. But is that what we really want to see? I mean, I guess, you know, I don't know if that would have made a difference. Probably not, because I don't for a second ever believe they'll keep the SEC out of that thing. And now that it goes to 12, obviously there'll be multiple SEC teams in there.
Right.
So I felt horrible for the Florida State kids for them to watch that as their name came up. To say that you went out as a Power 5 league and won every game you played and won the conference championship. The first team ever not to be allowed in after doing those things. I felt horrible for them. But again, I go back to my original point of they're never going to not have an SEC team in that playoff.
Yeah, I agree. I said the same thing on Saturday. I was like, there's no way an SEC team's not making it into the college football playoffs. And so, yeah, it was unfortunate for FSU. The timing, obviously, of the injury was bad, but that ultimately ended up, you know, being counted against them in the way that the college football playoffs shook out.
And I'll say this, you know, I keep hearing, you know, you got to play the games. I keep hearing, well, on a neutral, Florida State would be this kind of dog, and you know this kind of dog, and you know we live in a city of odd makers and odds, and that's great. But I'll tell you this: Oregon was a 10-point favorite. You know, I mean, they were a 10-point favorite. What happened to there? You know, should they have been on that field if they're a 10-point favorite? And they can't win that game. I mean, you know, so when you hear that, it's like, you know, the Lou Holtz line. You say, you know, you can say it because you can't prove it. No one really knows. Now we'll see. It'll be interesting to see in Georgia and Florida State who really wants to be there for that game. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see that game because I really want to see who actually wants to show up there. If you saw Kirby and the both coaches yesterday on that conference call with their pitchers, you could tell that neither of them really wanted to be there.
No, I mean, for Georgia, it's national championship or bust, and for Florida State, they feel like that they got the life taken out of them by not having that opportunity to go and try to win a championship. But again, I mean, it's four teams. That's how it goes. Next year with 12, at least it won't be in that situation. Then only team number 13 will be angry.
We'll
worry about that when it gets there. Again, Ed Graney is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920 Unnecessary Roughness. Now, the Raiders are coming off their bye week. They've got 5 games guaranteed left. What do you think needs to be the goal for the Silver and Black over the next 5 weeks?
Well, I mean, I think internally their goal is to follow Hunter Renfro's lead and that they can win all 5. I mean, that should be their goal.
Right.
You know, on the outside looking in, I think people want to see, you know, how AOC develops. You know, people are already talking about the draft, who might be there at that spot. I know Adam Hill did a mock draft for us. You know, would they take a quarterback in that spot if this is where they end up? I mean, we don't really know exactly where they end up because they have 5 games left. So, you know, I think for them, you know, they should follow Hunter's lead and think that they can win all 5 games. I don't think they will. I'm not sure if you think they will, but that should be their mindset. I mean, you know, they should come off a bye saying that they're going to take one game at a time and try to win all 5. And if they do that, then, you know, they'll be in the playoffs.
What do you think about the offense as far as trying to get it jump-started? Now that they've had a week off, is there something that you think Bo Hardigree and company can do to really, I guess, showcase what Aiden O'Connell could do really well and how to get this offense really going?
Yeah, I mean, I think they spent probably a lot of time on that. We talked about it last week about how many touches Josh wants each game, but that can't be a detriment to what you're doing. If it comes in the flow of the game, then get him his touches. If not, then don't get him the touches. I mean, you know, I know the numbers prove out to when he gets so many touches, they win this many games, but I thought last game they really tried to force that, and it became somewhat of a detriment to them. You know, they heard all week he wants 20, 23 touches. They tried to, you know, kind of force that to get him those, and look what happened. So I hope that they go back to a sense of, you know, what's working in the moment and not trying to, you know, force feed something that isn't there at that time. And, you know, they've got to play to Aiden's strengths. You know, they've got to figure out what those are. They can't have Davante Adams not getting targets in a second half of the game, or only 2 targets. I think it was 2 targets, but no catches in the second half of the game. They're not going to win if that happens. So they've got to figure out creative ways to make, you know, fix that. But I'm sure the bulk of the bye week, I mean, the players might have been off, but I guarantee the coaches weren't, and they were trying to figure out how to get this offense going.
Do you think that there's a chance that the Raiders roll with Aiden O'Connell these last 5 games and then decide, you know what, let's give him the next season, and we'll try to build the team around him. And because we've seen enough of what he can do, like we've seen some flashes, we just need to build up that consistency with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on how he plays, but I think that's an option. Again, we don't know where they're going to pick. We don't know who's going to be available.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, if a big-time quarterback's available at that spot, it might be really hard to pass on him. But if he's not, and it's not a guy you like at that spot, and you've seen enough from Aiden, and you can take those draft picks and free agency and however else you do this and build around him, then I think that's a viable option as well. I think you and I are both interested to see how he plays these last five games.
Yeah.
If he gives himself a chance to be the guy, but sure, that's an option. A lot of things go into it. Like I said, they go 0-5, they're going to be picking really high, and there will be a guy there.
Right.
They go 5-0, not so much. So we'll have to see. But I think, you know, to say, I don't think you can say, hey, they've certainly made the decision whether to keep him or move on from him at this point. I don't think there's any chance of that. I think they're still evaluating him, and you know, I mean, as they should. He's got five more games, and that's a lot of time to really evaluate and get a lot of good film on him and see, hey, can this guy be the guy of the future?
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I definitely don't believe that they're done evaluating him, and I think that these next five games are going to tell you a lot, and then depending on what they do following that. Well, Ed, we'll close out with this, talking about Coach Antonio Pierce, and I think that, you know, one of the big issues, maybe not even issues, but one of the things that's kind of obvious is that he's so new to this that there's sometimes – in-game decisions that may not be made as quickly as possible or may not be thought out the right way, or, you know, you could question a couple decisions here and there. Do you think that that's something that could start to slow down, similar to the game of football, how it slows down for guys that have been doing it for a longer amount of time?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And then you have guys who've been in it a long time, like Mike McCarthy, who's terrible at managing games.
Right.
So, you know, some guys are just good at it, and some guys are just bad at it. I don't think it's fair to label Antonio one way or the other. It's just been too – there's not enough evidence. You know, he hasn't been around as a head coach that long in the NFL, obviously, just getting this job now. So I think he can get better at it. But, you know, game management is a unique kind of skill, and some guys are really, really good at it, and some guys need a lot of help. And whether that's, you know, putting someone in charge or trying to help him with that and being in his ear and, you know, going through all the analytics or knowing on a, you know, certain play what to do, when to challenge, when not to challenge, when to take timeouts, when not to take timeouts. Maybe he needs a little more of that. But I certainly think he can get better at it. He obviously is passionate about this job. He wants this job. I'm sure, you know, he has said he's learning. He said he learns things every day. So I'm sure he's working on that as well. And, you know, I mean, I think he can get better at it, and we'll have to see. He'll have moments these last five games where we'll be able to kind of evaluate timeouts, how much time goes off the clock, when do you challenge, when not to challenge, and you know, it'll be front and center for everyone to see whether he gets better at it or not.
Yeah, no, you're right, and I could appreciate just the passion for the job. Obviously, like you mentioned, he really wants it. He's energetic. He brings energy to the building. I think that he's been doing some really good things since he took over November 1st, and we'll just see how he finishes things off. But, man, just being open and honest about how much he wants that job and how much he's, you know, trying to help these players along has been really refreshing. So I know I've enjoyed seeing it, at least, you know, the past month that he's been the head coach. So really good stuff as always. Ed, what are you working on that I should be on the lookout for?
Back to the Raiders with you, my friend. Back to the Raiders, and we'll even get into some rodeo this week. You're going to go out to the NFR, and it's always a cool time. I'm telling you, have some Cowboys on your show. There's no better athletes to talk to.
All right, done deal. Hey, you say it, I'll do it. That's how it is, man.
It's all get on the line and get yourself a Cowboy.
There you go. Come on, Ari. You heard the man. Get on the line and get yourself a Cowboy on the show.
Exactly.
Ed, thanks so much, brother.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right, there he goes. Ed Graney, ESPN Las Vegas, also the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He said, get a Cowboy on the show and make it happen. So, Ari, there you go. I'm expecting a Cowboy or two, and I'm not talking about the Dallas
Michael
Cowboys. No.
Not talking about Michael Irvin.
Now, that's a good get around the Super Bowl time, though. So, when the Super Bowl's here and we're on Radio Row, that's a good get, right? Good friend Emmitt Smith of the show. You know, we can get those guys on then, but We'll wait till then. But good stuff with Ed, as always. We definitely appreciate him. 2:47 is the time. We're here at the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino. We're here every single Monday for Monday Night Football. All we need is you. Come on by and holler at us. It's Raider Nation Radio, 920.
You're listening to Unnecessary Roughness, live at the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino.
We're here at the Underground Lounge. We do this every single Monday, Monday Night Football. This Monday, it's going to be Jacksonville versus Cincinnati Bengals. You can check it out on one of the many screens they have here inside the Underground Lounge at the Oyo Hotel and Casino. We threw the question out there on the don'tbebroke.com text line at 69187, keyword R&R. Oh, no, there's no keyword R&R. I messed up myself. I'm so used to the 69187. It's not that. Get it out of my memory bank. Get it out of my memory. It's not that. 702-365-9200. It's all the same number. Even I got to reprogram myself. So there you go. 702-365-9200. That's the listener line and the text line. Man, let me get that right. What do you believe the short-term goals should be for the Raiders? Short-term, meaning the next 5 weeks. And what should the long-term goals be this offseason, going all the way up to training camp, and maybe even a little bit further than that? We got a bunch of texts that I want to get to. This one's from Eric. Just had a thought. If at the end of the year, if we could say that this is Aiden O'Connell's team and not JJ's team, then he's the guy. If not, we have to draft the quarterback. Okay, I get that. That's really good stuff. I like that. This one's from Chris. I like O'Connell. He takes shots and got a big arm. I'd give him next season, too, when you install a new offense. In that's not McDaniels. Go ahead and use picks on your O-line and for your future. That's Chris A. from Oakland. Really good stuff there. I like that. How about Sal and Selma? He said, Q, Ari got me at work dancing and cooking. Food's going to be more fire right now. Q, I'm glad you're having that interview at 3. I was on the Anthony Richardson train last draft because I wanted to fight fire versus fire, a.k.a. Mahomes drafting the top quarterback to give us a chance is what we need on the Jaden Daniels train. I'm a strong believer of getting AP a good OC, bring back PG, get some depth in O-line and linebacker. We should be set for the future. Easier said than done. Take care from Sal's Mexican Restaurant in Selma. Yay! And then he also says, also give Chris Jones the bag. That's Sal from Selma, California. And that should be that's a really good one, man. Definitely thank you on that one. Let's see. What else did we get? I got a bunch of texts here. Man, we're well over 100 texts already just in a couple days on the text line. Only problem with this is I got to go to another page. This one's from Rob in Oakland. Several months ago, I texted the show wondering why LeVar Arrington expressed such a strong dislike of the former coach. Now it makes sense. This morning, LeVar told a story about hanging out with AP and another person this weekend. The punchline is a presumed Raider fan vomited on the floor and fell into it. Just a heads up in case he tries to steer the conversation in that direction. That's Rob in Oakland. Then he said, is signing the text redundant now? Yeah, it is, because it comes up. I got your name all the time. Also from Mark, he said, hey, Q, listened to Fox Sports Radio show this morning with LeVar and heard him mention he had dinner with AP. He didn't talk about any of the discussions they had. Glad you're having him on. Nice get. Yeah, LeVar Arrington will join the show coming up at 4 o'clock to talk all things Antonio Pierce. As my good friends Robin and Anna were in town and over the house this weekend, and they told me that LeVar Arrington is a really good friend of AP, and I had no idea. Even though my buddy Jason, who's my really good friend, is always listening to LeVar Arrington on the radio and knows that AP is really good friends with LeVar Arrington, but yet he doesn't tell me that. He didn't tell me one time. So then I say, hey, man, LeVar Arrington is going to be on the show. He says, oh, great, man, I love listening to him. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me the information? Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know. I was like, but you knew, yeah, I knew that. So Jason's always messing something up. Hey, cool your jets. Relax, sir, relax. So, yeah, that's going to be a good get, man. LeVar Arrington, look forward to talking to him at 4 o'clock. Look forward to talking to E.J. Snyder from Bootleg Football. He will join us next as well. We'll talk about football purgatory, about the teams that are stuck in the middle, kind of stuck in the mud, right? The teams that are picking around 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, that kind of range where you're not bad enough to pick super early and get maybe that premier player, and you're not good enough to make a deep run into the playoffs. He'll join us next to talk about that. Again, we're at the Oyo Hotel and Casino, the Underground Lounge. We do this every single Monday for Monday Night Football, and we do it with Raider Nation Radio 920.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.